Praise the Lord. Well, Liz and John and Jen are in on it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're excited for what God wants to do today. Amen. You know, I'm so excited. You know, I part of even pastoring is no different than the standard Christian life. Praise the Lord, because that's what we are. We're just living. We're all supposed to live in the ministry, and we're all supposed to live as Christians. Praise the Lord. Christians, for some reason, they've lost track of this. That sometime along the way, they thought that it was okay to just put down Christianity. Listen, we're not going to put down Christianity. We're not ashamed of what God says that we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to live. And we're not ashamed of who Jesus is and what he did. Yeah, Jesus loved on people. Jesus came in and healed the blind, healed the sick. Jesus helped people that were poor. Jesus did a lot of wonderful things. He loved on people. He hugged people. He reached people. He reached the people that nobody else would reach. But that same Jesus also went into the temple and cracked some whips. Hallelujah. He also flipped some tables over. See, because when people need correction, they need correction. Hallelujah. When the Lord is not afraid of doing both. And so sometimes we'll have services that are praise the Lord, are just uplifting in the sense of just you go out feeling good, and some you go out feeling like your toes have been stepped on. And I'm not saying all this because I'm planning on stepping on your toes, but I know that some of the things we're going to talk about today can be toes stepping on. Hallelujah. So if that's you, if you get your toes stepped on today, then just say, ouch, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Sit there and smile happily. And then you can leave here. Nobody will know that it's you that's missing it in that area. And you understand this. Whenever I preach, I'm preaching to myself. And so I don't ever preach, and especially something convicting, and never preach and not feel it myself. Praise the Lord. But you know, we haven't finished the series that we've been in. And I was seeking the Lord on what to do. I was seeking the Lord on what to do next. And I thought I was going to preach more about the laying on of hands, because we didn't even cover anything that was in the healing aspect of laying on of hands. But I figure what I sense was is that we do see that a lot in the church. But in reality, the Lord left the laying of hands for healing the sick really isn't meant for the church. That is really meant for the world. We're supposed to lay hands on people out there. Oh, glory. But that, we're not going to get into all that today, because I think we covered the laying on of hands good last week. And like I said, we're going to have this series in a collection that if you miss one, then you can go back and listen to it. But you always get them online anyways. But so I thought that possibly I was going to do that. But this week, we're going to teach the final part of Christianity 101, the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Praise the Lord. The resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. This is something that we don't want to fall back away from. We don't want to lose track of. Christians, we need to know these things. And we're going to get into this more and more, and even about why we're teaching Christianity 101 and where we're getting that from. But I wanted to talk to you about something that was on my spirit. You know, and I woke up with this rolling around in me today. It was about soaking up the anointing. You know, the house of God is in the anointing. Is can be a very tangible thing at times, and we can, you know, we can take those things, we can receive or have what we can obtain from God by what we're willing to receive from God. Amen. And so some things we won't receive because we just simply won't receive them. You know, Jesus died for everybody, but not everybody's going to receive him. And so those who don't receive Jesus aren't going to have Jesus operating in their life. Amen. But I got to thinking this morning about, you know, we used to, when I was a kid, we didn't go out to dinner all the time, and we certainly didn't go out to nice dinners very often, maybe just a couple times a year. But there was this one restaurant that we just loved to go to when we were younger. I mean, it was the fancy restaurant, you know, and looking back on it, it probably wasn't all that fancy, but it was just a nice dinner place, you know. And so we would go there, and we would pull out our best sweater. Maybe a best sweater vest, praise the Lord, or whatever, back at the time, you know. This is in the 80s, you know, probably. Late 80s, maybe. And we pull out our greatest pair of corduroys, our Oshkosh corduroys, or whatever, you know. We'd polish up our gym shoes, a little spit shine, hallelujah. And we go out to this nice dinner. I wasn't, like, raised in just complete poverty or anything, but, you know, like, we went to this nice restaurant, it was always really special for us. And when we go to this restaurant, you know, I mean, and that's why we would dress up nice, because it was special for us. That's why we would take a little extra time getting ready, because it was special for us. And so we would go to this restaurant and we would get there. And I can remember the feeling of walking into this place, you know, the lights were dim and everything was nice. And they had fountains and stuff, and they had like murals painted on the wall, and they had like fish tanks with all kinds of fish that you never even thought would exist, you know. And this was just a great place. And we would get there for the meal. And the meal that we were always after was prime rib. Hallelujah. We just love prime rib. Amen. In fact, when I was growing up, if I was going out to eat, I remember even into my, maybe in my 20s, I would think this, that there was no way you could go out to a nice dinner and not get prime rib. Like, you save spaghetti for like, that's like poverty. I don't go out to a nice Italian restaurant and get spaghetti. I'm getting prime rib. You know, this is the way I thought about it. Hallelujah. I still wouldn't buy spaghetti, but you know what I'm saying? No offense to any of you that love spaghetti. Spaghetti's fine. Praise the Lord. But prime rib's better. Amen. So we get the nice prime rib. And one of the things I loved about it is they throw this nice huge, this not even steak, just lump of meat there, you know. And they'd be surrounded by juice. You know, all this juice is sitting around this prime rib. And my stepdad one day, he decided that it would be a good idea, because I've always, I never spilled my juice, because, you know, your juice, your prime rib juice is real special stuff. That's like gold. You know what I mean? When you're 12 years old and you like that kind of thing. Well, at least was with me, praise the Lord. So I get my plate. The waitress sets my plate down, and you know, and then my mouth's watering and all this stuff, and I'm looking at it. And then all of a sudden, my stepdad reaches over with a piece of bread and throws it in that juice. And I was mad. I didn't say it, but I'm going to tell you, I was mad. I was mad. He threw that bread in that juice, and you know what it did? Soaked it up. He was afraid I was going to spill it. But you know, the thing is about, the reason I bring this up is because it really does apply to us. He didn't go out in the parking lot, grab a stone and throw it in the juice, because that wouldn't have done a stinking thing. Throwing a stone in there, being hard and solid, wouldn't have done. Well, that bread, though, was full of, ready just to soak up everything that was there. And when he threw it there, it drained the plate. Now, that was a bad thing. But you know, coming into the house of God is very much the same way. If we come in hungry and we come in thirsty and we come in, you know what, I'm getting something today. If you come in, I'm not going to receive anything. You probably aren't going to receive anything. And that's the difference. See, that's the way the Bible tells us this. This is the way Jesus said it works. They didn't receive Jesus, so they didn't receive his miracles in his hometown. I ain't kidding. The Son of God walked around in his hometown, and because they wouldn't receive him as the Son of God, they said, isn't this just the carpenter? They didn't receive anything. So we can be like that bread. We can soak up all the juice when we come in. You know, coming into a special place, which is church. See, a lot of people don't even realize how special church is. God gave you church, and he gave you a pastor for a reason. Not to just throw it lightly. Church should be like, when church became the most important thing in my life, then God really could start doing things in my life. But when you always put church aside, if it's always a side thing for you, if the anointing of God is always just something, well, I could take it or leave it, and well, maybe I don't need it, or maybe if that's the way it is for you, then don't receive. Don't expect to receive the things that God really has for you. Don't expect to ever find Jeremiah 29:11, because you'll never find it. God is not working in people that are about church. He's not working in people that are like, about the anointing, about the things that God wants to do. When God says, when God leads some people to start a church or to build a ministry, hallelujah. When people are like, I really wanted to go out to dinner actually this week. So you know, if the lives of people, future people that are going to get connected to a church, and you look around you and you'll see people whose lives have been changed, but it would not have ever been changed unless people had been faithful to both do it, to pay for it, to plan it. Praise the Lord. And so this even goes with the message today a lot, and I hope you're going to see that. Christianity 101, the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. These are our go-to scriptures for this series. This is what we've been standing on. These are the scriptures, the basis for what we're preaching the whole series on. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from the dead works, and of faith towards God. That was the first week, the first 2 weeks. Notice it says, not laying again the foundation. We don't want to build. If we got to constantly build the foundation in Christians, we will never get into what God has for us. If we just are teaching people all the time, you just got to learn to believe God, and we're never getting into spiritual things, then we're never going to see the power of God. People say, well, why don't we see the power? If God really wants the power of God to work in our lives like it did back then why don't we see it? I'm going to tell you why. Because the church doesn't look like it looked back then. Back then, the church was in one place, in one accord all the time. That when a brother or sister stumbled, the other one was there to pick them up, not bash them down. They weren't arguing, bickering back and forth about whether the scripture was really true or not. It wasn't even a question of whether it was true or not. They had it manifest in front of them. They said the scripture isn't only true, it is everything to us. And when you realize that, when the church realizes that, then they're going to see the power of God again. We want the revivals of God. Yes, we want God to come in when we're sick. When something happens, see, this is the thing. I'm going to tell you right now that your extracurricular activities, they aren't going to be there for you when all of a sudden you get full of cancer. They aren't going to be there for you when the devil starts knocking on your door and trying to steal something from you. They aren't going to be there when a family breaks apart or when alcoholism starts destroying lives. Those extracurricular activities aren't going to be there for you. So you can do whatever you want to do. And I'm talking about whatever it is. Whatever is more important than church. Whatever is more important to God. It's not going to change your life. That stuff will not help you. All it will do is cause you to go to death. Why? Because when the trouble comes, and the trouble's going to come, because the trouble comes to all of us. But when the trouble comes, you won't be prepared for it because you weren't getting the message that God was delivered to you every week. And then people want you to pray for them. And I tell them all the time. I'm like, I don't tell them this when I'm counseling, but I tell you all the time when I'm standing here, I can't pray stupid out of people. I can't pray. If you're going to do stupid things, I can't pray fixing in your life. If you're going to go out and live like the devil, I can't pray enough to make God change your life and help you. If you live like the devil, you will have the things the devil has. If you want to live like God, then you have to live the way God says. Amen? But we can't do this unless if we're constantly laying this foundation of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, which we preached last week. And then here, of the resurrection of the dead and of the eternal judgment. These are the base things of God. These are the base things of understanding that we should have, and yet most of the church doesn't know most of these things. So today we're going to focus on first part, resurrection of the dead, and I'm going to just give you just a quick few scriptures. We're not going to spend a lot of time there because you should understand. If you receive Jesus, you understand that he rose again from the dead. So you can be saved, hallelujah. And that when you die, you will raise again if you accept Jesus. That you will be taken to heaven, amen? But Colossians 1:18, go ahead and just look at it up here. It says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. What does firstborn from the dead mean? It means that there will be others. Just because there's a firstborn doesn't mean it's lastborn. Otherwise, they said he was the only born from the dead. But it says, no, he's the firstborn, that in all things he may have preeminence. See, Jesus was the firstborn from the dead, okay? And that's why I just wanted to bring that up real quick. Now go ahead and turn real quick to 1 Thessalonians 4:13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Go ahead and find it in your scripture. This scripture has played a... I remember sitting in a funeral home with someone who had passed that I knew hadn't received the Lord. And the Lord brought this scripture up to me. Because I saw people mourning. I saw people mourning with no hope. I saw people looking at the casket. Because, see, listen, we're all going to face that in our lives. You understand that. We're going to face a time when we're looking at a casket, and there should be a question in your head. What happened to them? What happened to them? Where'd they go? Praise the Lord. Now, look at what it says here, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. That's a nice way of saying dying. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Lest you sorrow as... Now, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren. Those are people who are born-again believers. A brethren is a born-again believer in Christ. Don't sorrow as others, those others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Hallelujah. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Okay, let's stop here for a second. The dead in Christ. See, Jesus is going to come at a certain time, and there will be certain people that are still alive when Jesus comes. This is one of the places where we get the concept of the rapture. Some people argue the rapture, but the Bible is very clear about it. It doesn't say the word rapture. Rapture is just a Greek word used, you know, doesn't matter. So your word to explain a going on, amen? What was happening, hallelujah. So those who remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Jesus is going to come. Dead in Christ will rise first. So those who are dead in their graves, they've been dead, they're going to go into eternity first. I'm not exactly sure how that works, but he works it that way. Amen. But then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Hallelujah. We'll be caught up. This is what the rapture of the church is. There's another scripture that says that you won't all see death, but you will all be transformed. We'll tell, all of a sudden, boom, we'll put on a different body. Our bodies will change in the blink of an eye. A body that can fly. Hallelujah. We'll shoot right up to heaven. Notice that Jesus didn't come back to the earth yet. You see, Jesus still has to come back to the earth, but this happens before. So this is the resurrection of the dead. It is when the dead is raised to life to go to heaven with Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, that's a pretty good thing, ain't it? So we understand that. I think that's not too hard of a concept to understand. But for the purposes of today, we have to understand something, and these do go hand in hand, because not all the dead are going to be resurrected to heaven. Not all the dead are going to make it there. And then this is why I start preaching the things about why it matters that we be excited for the things of God, why it matters that we stir ourselves up, why it matters that we come in wanting to receive, because when we walk in those things that God has for us, then we open the path to others to come in and do the same thing. See, people won't get changed out there. We know that. We see that. I can point to people in here whose lives have been changed, not because of me, but because of the Word of God in their lives. But that isn't going to happen to people out there. And what we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about eternal judgment, mostly. And the reason we're going to be talking so much of that is because, quite frankly, we need to understand what's at stake. We need to understand the cost. And I know what you're saying. I know you're sitting there saying, like, well, you know, this is great, Pastor Jeff, but how does this apply to my life today? Oh, it applies to your life today. Because how we live here also determines how we decide to live. If we decide to hunger for God, then God blesses us. He hooks up to us. He will break those things off of us. But see, when we live for the devil, we can't do that. And we're going to see that in here. Amen? So why don't you turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5:14? I just love the word because, you know, there's times when you preach things that you can jump up and dance around or run around, hallelujah, and shout, hoot and holler. And I ain't joking. I mean, there's times we have services like that, amen? Yeah. We'll have services like that. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Joy of the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord doesn't mean you sit there like a pious moron that can't even express any joy. No, how do you express joy? If somebody come and hand you a check for $1 million, would you sit there with a solemn look on your face and go, oh, praise the Lord? You wouldn't pull out your Eeyore faith. You'd be pulling out your Tigger faith. Hallelujah. You'd be bouncing off the walls left and right. You'd be boom, 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 boom. You'd be going nuts if somebody handed you a check for $1 million. Well, guess what? God gave you Jesus. It's more. I said, God gave you Jesus, it's more. So we got to stir those things up in us, amen? Amen? And it's not wrong to have that. It's not wrong to have that in church. But sometimes we need those solemn moments. I was thinking back, it was 3 years ago today that my wife and I were licensed as ministers. 3 years ago today, and then within within the few weeks afterwards, we went out and preached our first message. Praise the Lord. I just think about where God has brought me to, and where God has brought me from. And it's amazing, the journey getting us there. Can't remember why I brought that up. Praise the Lord, but it's good nonetheless. I had a purpose for it, but praise the Lord. For the love of Christ compels us. This scripture comes to me so often. I think about this scripture so much. The love of Christ compels us. What compels you? What makes you do what you do? What makes you decide what you're going to do? What makes you decide that you're going to push through? Why do I push through? Do you know how many times as a pastor, how many times that the pressure comes against me of leading a congregation? You'll have the direction of God, and you'll say, you know, build a building and say, plant a church, hallelujah. And then you'll have people come to you and say, hey, I have cancer. You'll have somebody come to you and say, hey, my baby's sick. You'll have somebody come to you and say, my life's falling apart. You'll have all these things. And you know what the pressure of that is like, because you have to do the only thing I can do is do the same thing I teach you to do, and that's live in faith. And that's exactly how I guide you. I guide you with faith. We're going to teach you how to live in faith, because there is no other way you're going to get through it. You can't beat it without God. You're at the whim of the world. So the only thing I can do is stand in faith. But if I'm standing up here, like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen, brother. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know, sister, I don't know how you're going to get to the other side of that. Where's your faith going to go? Yeah. And so what does the devil like to do? He likes to throw stuff at me. He likes to throw it at me because he likes to see, yeah, I got this target on my back this big, because the devil doesn't like me to preach the faith message to you because he doesn't want you to stand. And the Bible's very clear. He says, where the shepherd is, if you smite the shepherd, the sheep are scattered. And we've seen that happen before. That isn't going to happen here because we preach the Word of God and we stand on the Word of God. Amen? But the love of God compels me. When I wake up in the morning and I don't feel like doing it, you know what I think about? You. I think about my family. I think about those who are hurting. I think about people like my brother Cody. I think about all these people that the only difference between me and them, the only difference is that somebody taught me the word boldly. That somebody cared enough to put aside their stuff for a minute to fund the work of the gospel. To stand up and make sure that there was a church that people could go to get saved. That could bring people out of it. The only difference between somebody who is and somebody who isn't is the faithfulness. The faithfulness. That's the only difference. The love of Christ compels us. Why did Jesus go to the cross for a bunch of people who were just going to nail him to it? The same people who are going to spit on him. The same people who are going to whip him and beat him. Why did Jesus do it? The love of Christ. His love compelled him to do it. Why do we speak the truth no matter what, people? Do you know how unpopular it is to preach the message that we preach in this church? But why do I continue doing it no matter who hates me? Do you know how many people will hate you and revile you and they've never even given you a chance? There are Christians out there that hate us because we preach the Word of God with boldness. I said there's Christians. There are whole churches that preach against us, and all we do is stick to the Word, not our tradition. I don't preach to you something I made up or something that I feel good about. Do you think it feels good to tell people who are poor, hey, the only way to get out of poverty is to spend more? To put it in places that doesn't make sense? See, because that's what the Bible says. But see, those people, if they don't get it, they don't understand what's attached to it. Praise the Lord. I have seen life after life after life, and you can ask yourself, you know somebody in here even. Look to your neighbor and look life after life after life. Who, unless somebody cared, unless the love of Christ compelled someone, that they weren't going to do it. They wouldn't have got there. Listen, the only reason you're sitting here today is because somebody, the love of Christ compelled somebody to do it. The love of Christ was in somebody and said, you know what, it doesn't matter what the cost is, I'm going to pay it because it's more important to me. When you see somebody hurting and broken, the first thing I do is get mad at the devil, so I don't want to partner with the same idiot that's doing it. Yeah, but there's so many Christians that are going out there and partnering with the devil. They love just soaking up everything the devil's for. We're going to see some of that. Hallelujah. The love of Christ compels us because we judge this, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves. Christian, ask yourself, who am I living for? Who am I living for? That those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Praise the Lord. It matters. It matters what we do. It matters that you live right. You look around you have family members that you want to see come to Christ, but you can't live right, and you got to understand that you are preaching a message to them even if you never open your mouth. When you live like the devil out there and then you come in here and try to be church-like, well, praise the Lord, I'm not talking. You know, there's some of us that are newer to the faith. There's some of us who haven't known all this stuff. And listen, God's got a space and time. He gives you a place to repent and change your ways, to do something different, to live different than you did before. But there are Christians that year after year after year after year, you see no change in them. There's a problem with that. There is a problem when you live. If you look the same way you did when you came in, and you came in 10 years ago, there's a problem, brother or sister. Because Jesus isn't okay with you staying where you were. Where you were was garbage. You came out of hell. You came out of the devil's playing field. You came out of his games. You came out of his lifestyle. You want what God has, but are you willing to pay the price? Do you live for yourself? Praise the Lord. How the Bible describes eternal judgment. I'm going to share it with you. I'm just going to share with you a few of the things that the Bible says. I was looking for scriptures. I would fill several services with the scriptures where it talks about hell is like. This is what's at stake. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know what gnashing of teeth is? It means you're in so much torment that your teeth are grinding together. This is what's at stake. When you out there, when you consider what you do, when it's more important for you to have that one thing, whatever it is, above God, then I want you to think about this. When you see somebody out there living like the devil and you understand that weeping and gnashing of teeth is in their future for eternity. Hallelujah. Eternal torment. A place where the worm never dies. This is hell, brothers and sisters, and hell is real. Why do I preach against homosexuality? Not because I hate homosexuals, because I love them. Because you know what? One of the things that sends people to hell is homosexuality. It sends people to this. So you think that you love them more because you want to agree with what they do. But the whole time, if they live in that lifestyle and never repent, they're going to spend eternity in a place where they will gnash their teeth, where they will weep constantly, where the worm never dies and eats their flesh. This is the Bible. A place where the worm never dies, everlasting fire, complete darkness and loneliness that you cannot even imagine. These are just a little bit of what's waiting in store. And this was created for the devil. Jesus paid a price to get him out. But you know what? The world can't even receive Jesus because half the time Christians are, they can't even live like a Christian. It's so hard when God has changed your life, really? It's so hard to realize that Jesus died for you when you didn't deserve it. See, this is why we preach. It's not because we hate. Hell is not about preaching what we hate. It's about preaching the truth to people so they live. Praise the Lord. Matthew 16, 24. Glory, glory, hallelujah. See, God loves us. He loves us so much, He gave us a church to teach us. But when churches stop preaching the word because it's not comfortable. Oh, yeah, it's not comfortable to teach tithing, so we're not going to do it. It's not comfortable to teach about sin. There's churches out there that just tell you to live with any way you want. There's grace, God will forgive you. You know what that does? That sends Christians to hell. I said that sends Christians to hell. See, there's a truth. There's a truth that remains, and we need to see it. We need to understand it. We need to understand why God has showed us this stuff. Why do I do this? Why do I stand here every week? Why do I press through? You know how many people have come to me and tell me, oh, you're wrong, or you're doing this wrong, or you should do it this way. And the whole time, I've got to be led by the Lord. And I know that I can't be led by the Lord and do what everybody else says. But it's more popular to want to do what's popular. Don't you want people to like you? Sometimes I got to stand there and say things that people are going to hate me for. I've had people sit in these seats and glare at me the entire time. You think I enjoy that? I'm somebody who doesn't even like to talk in front of people, believe it or not. It's the truth. If you knew me from my past, I wouldn't even like to talk in front of people. But see, this is why we get our lives straight. What keeps me from going back to the same vomit, the things I got into my past life? The love of Christ compels me. Knowing that if I open that door to pornography, if I open that or reopen that door to drugs or reopen that door to alcohol or any other terrible thing that I can live, if I reopen that door, then I lose all this. I lose what the Lord is doing. Hallelujah. And see, the Bible, even Jesus said, he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. That means that some won't do this. Take up your cross and follow him. Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You nail to the cross sometimes. You got to nail to the cross. Yes, sometimes I don't get to go on every vacation I wanted to because I got to do the work of the Lord. Sometimes, and vacation is a big thing for us. We love getting that time away, especially, you know, just give you an example. There's times when we get away sometimes, and there's things with the ministry you have to deal with. You have to deal with it, not because people are bad or not because people are, but because there's a real devil out there. You understand that? But you have to realize sometimes that you gotta put those things aside. Sometimes it's worth it to put it aside to see somebody through to their victory. See somebody through who cares, amen? Somebody who will do it. Praise the Lord. Why do we spend? Praise God. Sometimes spending 2 hours in a meeting. I've spent up to 3 hours with people in meetings before. There was one person I spent 3.5 hours preaching to her. 3.5 hours preaching to her. My wife was there with me. 3.5 hours preaching. Real good. Doesn't come to the church today because, well, you know, it's easier to live in the world. It was easier to, you know, it was easier to do this, this, and this in the world. You know what I'm talking about, doing things in the world. Everything that's out there. Everything that's out there that you spend your time and money on that you don't do here. You know what I mean? There's a problem. See, because this isn't just about this church. This is about what this church does. I have that understanding. That's why I do it. Praise the Lord. But it takes you nailing some things to the cross. This is taking up your cross. God isn't saying we have to physically nail ourselves to the cross. He says sometimes you got to put down what you want. Yes, child, you have to put down what you want so you can do what's necessary to do. Yes, I didn't want to do, I didn't see myself doing this. I wanted to run a business. I was an artist. I haven't drawn a picture in years. I was an artist. I would have art shows, and people would tell me how good my art was. I was told that I could go to school for free. Now, in fact, I had the head of the art department tell me that he said, if you don't even consider a school, don't even consider a school that won't pay your tuition and your place to stay. Don't even consider a school like that. I don't draw a picture at all today. Why? I've nailed it to the cross. It's more important for me to serve God than it is to do what I want to do. Praise the Lord. Because see, this is how a Christian is supposed to live. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You are here for 70 years, give or take a few. I don't know why I always go back to that, but 70, I want to live much longer than that. You should live much longer than that, but we'll just, whatever. We're here for 80 years, give or take, 90 years, give or take a few. We're in eternity somewhere else. Yeah, Mike's going to be here a lot longer than 70 years. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise, that's what I mean. Hallelujah. So you got to go longer. Hallelujah. You got work to do, brother. Hallelujah. And he knows. I don't mean that in any kind of disrespect. I mean, he does. You know what I'm saying? He loves the Lord and pressing on. This is just the second part. Hallelujah. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? We got to understand. What do you teach your kids? What do we show our kids? What do we show our family members? What do we show in the way that we live our life? I question myself all the time on this. And that's why I bring it up, because I do. I know you should too. Question yourself in everything that you do and everything that you're doing. Ask yourself, what am I showing to my children? What am I teaching those people that I want to serve God later on in life? What am I saying to you? Because you know what? There's whole groups of kids that go off to college and stop even believing in God, because they get into those liberal colleges and they start taking all those liberal ideas, you know, things like evolution that there's no proof to, but all this stuff that there's proof to it, and it's the truth, and they start teaching it, and then they're like, why do I got to believe in God anymore? And then I've got people coming to me and say, well, why do my kids don't want to believe in God anymore? Because you didn't raise them to make church the number one thing. You didn't put God number one in their lives, and as a result, now they're serving the devil. That's the truth. This is what happens. But not just our kids. What about the other kids? What about the people we'll reach? What about their kids? What about their kids? What about their kids? What about all these other in the schools? Hallelujah. We send Christians to schools, people who live on fire for God. And I'm going to tell you what, there'll be revivals in these schools. Glory to God. Glory to God, there will be revivals in the schools. But these schools are doing nothing but teaching them everything opposite of what we're teaching here. And what's at stake? Eternal judgment. Eternity and hell, there is a fact. It is an absolute fact that over 80% of people who aren't saved by the time they are 18 will never, ever, ever receive Jesus. They'll end up in hell. It's a fact. Praise the Lord. Eternal judgment is a real thing. For what promise or profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Praise the Lord. You may have a child who's like extraordinarily good. I've seen this before, like football. I don't know if there's any football players in here. I'm not picking on you if there are. But I knew this specific instance. Extraordinarily good. So they just keep pushing the kid that way. Keep pushing the kid that way. Oh, they'll skip church to go do that. Yeah, they don't have to be in church. They're just going to keep pushing them that way. Guess what? When that all comes crashing down, or when they could end up being the best football player in the world. But what's going to happen if they never knew anything about the Lord? What's going to happen if they didn't ever learn the importance of God? Eternal judgment. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. You see, this This isn't necessarily, I mean, this isn't one of those messages where we're like, woo, amen, pastor, glory to God. Hallelujah, glory, yeah, woo-hoo. It's not one of those messages. We have some of those, by the way. So again, if it's your first time, well, just hang on, come back. Give us at least one more try, or at least give my wife a chance to preach to you. But you understand, see, we got to preach the truth, and there's times we got to put this in you because it matters, amen? Praise God, hallelujah. John 3:16, we know the scripture, John 3:16. Most everybody, this is cross-stitched somewhere, you know it. You've seen this on some doily, some pillow, you've seen this on some wall hanging, you've seen this in grandma's house, on grandma's pot holders, hallelujah. You've seen this all over grandma's house, cross-stitched on her pillows, in the carpet. She had special John 3:16 carpets all over the house. You wipe your feet on John 3:16, hallelujah. You wipe your hands on John 3:16. You might even dot your mouth a little bit. You know, when you got a little gravy run out the side of your mouth, you might even clean that up with a John 3:16, hallelujah. But it means something more than just that. Praise the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but everlasting life. Whoever believes in him, only whoever believes in him. There is no other person, only whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Might be saved. You see the terminology that's being used here. Listen, I've seen this problem before. People are at funerals, and just because you love Great Uncle Ed doesn't mean that Great Uncle Ed's going to heaven. If there's any Great Uncle Eds in here, we love you. Praise the Lord. We're for you. But this is the truth. If they don't receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, that is the way into heaven. Why? Because of the price that he paid for it to happen. God is a just God. If you had a child molester standing before you and the judge said, free pass, go ahead and go. Well, nowadays society is kind of popular to do this kind of stuff, but we know that it's not right. It inflames people who actually have a mind, right? Because I don't care what the reasoning was, that isn't okay. It isn't okay to murder just because you want to. It isn't okay. This is what happens when you teach a whole generation of people, do what makes you feel good. Because to some people, what feels good isn't going to feel good to other people. You know, people who torture people. The people, you know, that we just saw this week. We have a whole world full of this. That scumbag, I'm just not going to say it, scumbag over there in Syria, who like to just drop a whole bunch of chemical weapons all over innocent people. And people are mad at us because we do something about it. Listen, when you're bigger, you got to have a moral obligation to take care of stuff sometimes. And that's something that needs to be taken care of because that's the kind of stuff that's happening in a godless country. Oh, godless Muslim country, I should say. But whoa, hey, whoo, hey, you just said that. Yeah, but it's the truth. They're okay with that. I said they're okay with that. Well, praise the Lord. We're not talking politics. I'm talking about spirituality here because there's spirits in this world that control all things. Hallelujah. I mean, you look, go to YouTube and look up a video of what happened to some of those kids there, seeing kids poisoned with nerve gas. This is what's happening in this world, a godless world. Praise the Lord. It's the truth. Praise God. Hallelujah. Boy, this is good. Praise the Lord. Verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation, that light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light. There are movies out there that Christians will go watch that will pump their heads full of this darkness. I've even heard people talk about it. Like, I've heard Christians talk about these. I'm not going to go down the road with movies. You probably know what they are. And if you've seen one, I'm sure that you're getting real convicted right now. So praise the Lord, you can keep looking up here. But here's the truth. They'll go say, and this stuff is the same stuff that just years ago, not even a few years ago, would have been considered horrible and nasty. And people are getting their rocks off on it. They're getting excited about the things that are happening. These people are doing evil, nasty, we're going to see some of that. Evil, nasty, sexual things, and they're getting excited about it. They'll read books that are full of that kind of smut. They'll do these things. See, people love darkness rather than light. They won't pick up their Bible, but they'll read a smut book. You know what I mean? Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. By the way, I'm preaching this really awesome message tonight. It's about learning how to deal with the giants in your life, the things, and it'll be one of those uplifts. So if you want to come back and just get excited for the word, praise the Lord. But you came this morning, so pray, you might as well come back tonight too and just and at least feel better about me. Hallelujah. Yeah, hallelujah. I know what the trap is, though. Listen, I'm not just looking at you and saying, listen, you do these things, you're a horrible person. I'm not just saying this stuff and saying, listen, you are deserving of death. I'm not doing it. I'm trying to wake your mind up to the fact that you can't be okay with it. Like when I make a mistake, I know that it's a mistake and I know that it's a sin. And so I get repentant before God. Christians, we have to learn how to repent before God and say, listen, Lord, I know this isn't right. So I want to change this. Listen, I was caught up into those addictions. Those addictions of pornography, the addictions of drugs, addictions of promiscuous style. I understand it all. I was caught up into that. What keeps me from doing it now? The love of Christ compels me. I go before God and I know that it's wrong. I don't accept it. I say, this is wrong, so I'm not going to do it anymore. Or I go to God and say, I messed up. Hallelujah. Well, listen, as a pastor, I can't mess up in those things and still be a pastor. But you understand. So I've gotten some kind of victory over it, but I still have to watch it. I still have to watch it because even on news, they like to put naked women all over it. Yeah, they do. Pretty much naked women. It doesn't leave much up to the imagination. And so this is the stuff. Of course, people are sending their baby girls out in this. I'll tell you what, my girl will never, ever wear some of these clothes. Oh, glory. Oh, boy, don't get me on that. Hallelujah. I got a lot of message here to still cover, but we're going to get there. Amen. And this is the condemnation that light is coming in the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. It matters how we live, Christians. We have to look at these things and say, listen, this doesn't mean we have to live in bondage, but we have to look for change. We have to start changing things. Yes, you're happy because God set you free, but there's something that's required on the other side of being set free, and that's called living right. Because eternal judgment is at stake, not just for them, but also for you. There's some group, I don't know what religions do this, so it doesn't really matter, but at some rate, they came up with this idea of once saved, always saved. Listen, just because you receive Jesus today does not mean that you go to the grave with Jesus, because the Bible's very clear that you can walk away from that. In fact, Paul warned the Corinthian church about somebody who was living in sexual sin. He said, cast him out, and they said, hand such a one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh so that their soul will be saved in that day. See, it matters. So that their soul will be saved in that day. See, you can lose that. You can, if you walk away from it, if you willfully. The Bible talks a lot about that. But there's some people that teach that messed up message. For everyone practicing evil hates light and does not come to light lest his deeds should be exposed. And that's really what it's about. That's why God isn't about secrets. We aren't secretive. This is why husbands and wives... This is why I always say to you, if you live with secrets against your husband or against your wife, then you're living against the will of God. You cannot have secrets. My wife and I have nothing in secret. She knows exactly what I make. In fact, I don't even know what I make. She knows what I make. I'm not completely joking on that. I know what my yearly, I have no idea how it breaks down. She does the bills and all that stuff. She knows where it goes. Husbands and wife, you have secrets. I'm going to tell you where it's going to lead. It leads to hell. Husbands and wives should not have secrets. Why? Because the Bible says you became one. How can you have a secret with yourself? If you become one, when you come together, how can you have a secret against yourself? But people, I want God working in my life, and yet we have all these secrets. That's how people fall into sin. See, if I don't have secrets before my wife, if I could talk to my wife about something I'm struggling with at the moment, then my wife can use that grace to help me through that so I don't fall victim of that. Praise the Lord. And vice versa. If there's something she's struggling with, I can help her with that. But see, if we can't even talk to each other, this is why this whole concept, again, in the world, look everything the world does and just do the opposite, and you should be okay. Everything the world does, you got to have you time, and you got to have you time, and that's why you have problems. Because you're going out spending time with your buddies, and you're going out and spending time with your lady folk, And the whole time, they don't want nothing to do with church. They don't want nothing to do with your husband or your wife. They don't want, yeah. I mean, this is the way that it is. I've been down this road, glory. I ain't going there again. That's the truth. But he who comes to the who does the truth comes to the light and that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Do you know the Bible also tells us that everything done in darkness will come to light? So you may think that you're getting it through, but guess what? So sooner or later, it's going to blow up on you. I said sooner or later, it's going to blow up on you. Hallelujah. Now, 1 Corinthians 6:9. Why don't you pop over there real quick? Praise God. See, we're building. We're talking about eternal judgment. These are things that cause eternal judgment. This lifestyle, this is what, listen, if you come in here and you're like, I needed help in this, listen, getting our hearts right will always lead us in the right direction. As we come get hooked up to the Word of God and we hear these things preached and they get put into us, it changes the way we think. And you're like, you shouldn't think the same way you did when you weren't saved. If you do, there's an issue. You need to start changing those things. There should be at some point thinking, this isn't right. Listen, again, it's not about us being perfect. It's not about us just like, oh, everything's falling off. It took me years to get to the point where I needed to be. You know what I mean? And God's still working in me to take me further. Listen, there's no condemnation. If you haven't been doing this, today's the day. But today is the day, I'm telling you. Today's the day. This is a wake-up call. Hallelujah. Because we want what God has for us. We want the power of God active. Who doesn't want the power of God active in their lives? Just raise your hand. Anybody don't want power of God working for them? Anybody who doesn't want to see people healed? Does anyone want to see people in hell? How many people want to see people in hell? Give me a hand. Come on, one hand. No hands? Okay, how many people want to see peace in their lives? Oh, there's a few hands. How many people want to see power of God active in their lives? To do all things? Look, I don't think there's one hand down. Glory to God. You see what I'm saying? The power of God is activated by certain methods. It's nothing to be sad about. It's just when we're convicted about it, and yes, we'll have convicting messages. That's okay. Listen, if somebody didn't step on my toes, dear Jesus, I was squirrely. If you found 1 Corinthians 6, if we didn't have someone step on our toes, we couldn't do what's right. And if we couldn't do what's right, then the Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's why the church looks the way it does today. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God? What does that mean? Unrighteousness will send you to hell. It's eternal judgment. Do not be deceived. I love it when the Bible says that. Do not be deceived. And still people go over that and just completely forget it. Don't be deceived. And he's going to tell us what unrighteousness looks like right here. I'm going to break this down. Near the fornicators. That is sex outside of the marriage covenant. Or sexual activities outside the marriage covenant. Why do we teach our kids it's not okay to play around? You see these, and I'm not saying that going to a dance is wrong or anything like that. But some of these dances, what they're doing, they're sending their kids to go bump and grind with each other when their hormones are at their highest peak. They're teaching them how to fornicate. This is what they're doing. And it's okay when people are okay with it. I said they're okay with it. Listen, kids, you got to watch yourselves, especially at these young ages. Listen, we're talking about stuff we'll be real here in church, because the thing is you're all good about to hear it in school anyways. I don't think there's anybody in here that goes to school. If there's anybody in here that goes to school, they're already hearing about some of the stuff, because some of these people are living this stuff. But this is the truth. This is dangerous. It's dangerous. This is what people who practice these things. This is not talking about, now listen, if somebody's been caught up in something or they're working out of it, you know what I mean? They're trying to get out of it. Okay, God's going to give them grace to get out of it. But if you keep rejecting the Word of God and just say, well, this is okay. You know, one of the things that drove me and my wife to get married is because we lived together. And we realized that we were living together wrong. Yeah. Because we were living together wrong. We were just coming to family church. We were living together wrong. And as we were doing that, we started getting convicted by the words that were being preached and by the truth of the Word. And finally, we started saying, listen, I went to my wife and I was like, listen, we got to get married, and we got to get married now. We got to do, like, I would have, and going back, you know, with the knowledge I have now, I would have just got married instantly. I would have just gone and got it done. Pastor can marry you. I can marry you in 10 minutes. Not even 10 minutes. Pastor Tim has married several people during the middle of a church service. Oh, glory to God. That's exactly the way me and my wife would have done it. Knowing this, we had everybody wanted there anyways, and anybody else who we wanted to come, we would have loved to have them heard church. So come see us get married for 10 minutes and sit for the rest of the service. We can do that. Praise the Lord. All you need is a license and a few witnesses. We got that. Hallelujah. And I can sign the license. Amen. I mean, you have to go get that, but it only takes $25 or $50, whatever it is now. Praise the Lord. And if you really can't come up with it, but you really want to be married and you're going to be right about it, well, praise the Lord. I'll give you the $25. I'm serious. I mean, if that's what it's got to take to do it, but don't, you know, praise the Lord. So neither fornicators. These people don't inherit the kingdom of God. Idolaters. You know what an idolater is? An idol is anything. It's something that you worship. It's something you worship is anything that you place above God. So if there's anything that's above God's importance in your life, that's an idol. Idolaters do not inherit the kingdom of God. Now listen, none of us are going to be perfect in all these things. There will be times when we may idol or have idol worship a little bit. But then when we're corrected about it, we have to get around it. You shouldn't be so casual about things like sex, though, that you just like happen to fornicate. That shouldn't happen. You know what I'm saying? We shouldn't just happen to stumble into fornication. Praise the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Nor adulterers. This is somebody who is married and then goes out. Of course, we know what adultery is married and goes out. But Jesus said that if you think about it. So if you're living a lifestyle where you're thinking about this stuff, if you're living a lifestyle where you're looking at all this other material, if you're watching movies or if you're watching internet, if you're doing all these things, you are committing adultery. So if you live in that, if you've been caught up in that, you need to get it right. You need to repent. You need to move on. Hallelujah. And there's people that I've known people, wonderful people that have gotten beyond that. You know, the marriages that have been restored because they got right about it. Nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. These two are very interesting because these two don't just necessarily mean what you mean or think they mean. Including in these two are specifically are people who are homosexuals, or what we call them today homosexuals. In other words, men being with men, women being with women. It's not okay according to God's word. And he said those people that practice these things cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This, we're talking about eternal judgment here. So this is like if you are okay with this, then you are lining yourself up with the devil. Sodomites is also included in this. And this is why I love when people say, oh, the Bible doesn't talk about homosexuality and stuff like that. Oh, yeah? Really? Well, here's a real easy scripture to point to. Well, it's just one of many. Nor sodomites. These are people who have uncontrolled sexual lust and do things that are sexually deviant. Like, you know, like stuff like 50 Shades of Garbage. Oh, I did say it. Oh, praise the Lord. Do you know what I'm saying? That's exactly what this kind of stuff is. It's not when it's not enough to just do things the way that you got to start adding all these things into it. Praise the Lord, this is church. Hallelujah. I don't remember hearing any of this stuff growing up in churches I grew up. I'll tell you that much. But there's stuff. Hey, we'll have an adult class too someday. We have had one marriage class in Glory. We talked about all kinds of things. God made the marriage bed as a wonderful, wonder. It's like his gift to married couples. He's like, here, you guys are going to be married. You're going to deal with a lot of things. But this is something. This is real, like, yes. Hallelujah. And the married folks said, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's, you know, God wants us to enjoy it. This isn't religion teaching people that you can't, you know. And you should. If you're a married couple, you should. You should be looking for that. You should be looking to your. And sometimes you got to stir yourselves up when you've been married for a while. It's the truth. Sometimes you got to stir yourself up about your spouse. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Why? Because we got to do it with the word, and the word's much better than your spouse is. We got to do it with the things of God, and that's. So sometimes you just got to stir it up. You say, you know what? I don't look like I did when I was 20, but praise the Lord. You don't look like you did when you're 20, but dang, girl, you got it going on. And same thing back. You know what I'm saying? Like you can. Now my wife, she, you know, I don't have any problems in that. You know, my wife, looking at my wife, but you understand? I'm just saying. I'm speaking. You know, as a man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. She'd be amen in me right now. She'd be helping me because she knows what I'm talking about. She understands there is a method to the way that I do things. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Nor thieves. Oh, thieves. Thieves, I mean, it's obvious what thieves are, but see, some people try to get thievery. They try to thieve and steal. They do things that are kind of, you know what I mean? And then they wonder why the power of God ain't working in their lives. And it's because, well, you aren't doing things right. I said, you aren't doing things right. You got to do things right. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to steal. Well, praise the Lord. The Bible says in Malachi 3, 8, and 9 in that area, it says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. And you're saying, which way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Thieves are included in this. That's somebody who robs, right, and steals. Oh, praise the Lord. I don't want to go down that road too much because I want to. praise God, nor covetous. Those who, you're always looking at what everybody else has. Oh, this world loves that. We gotta look at everything everybody else has, and if they have too much, well, glory to God, we got to take it and spread it out. Share it with everybody else, because you know, it ain't fair that they have a lot. Well, how much is too much? Well, I know more than what I got. That's the mindset that's in the world today. God doesn't mind people being wealthy. Listen, he is against greed. He is against people not doing good things with their money. But God doesn't mind you being wealthy. So don't sit there and say that you're trying to be all pious, saying that you can take everything that belongs to everybody else and share it with everybody else. Possibly people who did all kinds of bad things not to have it. Praise the Lord. It's not hard in this country to have something. I've been to countries where there's true poverty. There's not true poverty. Oh, my gosh, is that the time? There is not true poverty in this country. Hallelujah. Nor covetous, nor drunkards. Whew, this is a hard one. People love those churches where they say it's okay to do, you know, if you want to sip, you can sip. Well, praise the Lord. Keep sipping and see where it gets you. Keep sipping. Listen, if you're struggling with alcoholism, I am not coming down on you and saying you're a horrible person or anything like that, but you got to get it right. If you're struggling with sin, you got to get down. You got to get it right. We have example after example how that destroys lives in people. Listen. I'm just telling you the truth because I love you. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not trying to call you bad. But this is what the word says. People who just, they're okay with just living this way. They're going out there party lifestyle. Heck, there's pastors that do it now. They have churches and bars, and they're sending all of them to hell. It's the truth. The truth of the word. Eternal judgment. It's a real thing. Nor revilers. These are people that are like, basically, the best way I can think of to describe this is Mardi Gras. You ever seen Mardi Gras? Not just the alcohol, because it's not just talking about alcohol, but look at what they're doing. They're out there partying. You know, yeah, you throw beads and hey, and everything goes down there. You ever heard of Vegas? I'm not saying it's wrong to go to Vegas. I'm not saying it is wrong. But if you're going to Vegas and you're living in all that and you're just soaking all that up, you better be careful, because that's what this is. That extreme lifestyle of just throwing caution to the wind, doing whatever you want, because, you know, so-and-so people aren't around or whatever. Praise the Lord. Nor extortioners, people who try to get things out of people or try to steal or weasel people out of their money. Oh, my gosh, I've seen Christians like this, and I want to punch them. There's a few things that make me want to punch a Christian, but this is one of them. I can't stand it when people are cheap. I hate that. I hate it when people are cheap. Why? Because God wasn't cheap. He gave us his son, and if you're cheap, you got a problem. I'd say, if you're cheap, you got a problem. Yeah, amen. I'm saying if you can only give a waitress a dollar and you sat there and ate for an hour, then you got a problem. I don't care if you just had a cup of coffee. Give her $2. Praise the Lord. I mean, this is how I got my wife, by the way. So if you're looking for a wife, praise the Lord, just tip real good. But you know what I'm saying? Like, we got to look at this stuff. We got to consider these things. Like, don't be cheap. God is not cheap. He doesn't want Christians to be cheap, but Christians are by and large the cheapest people out there. I have heard people, I brought this up before, but they've got waitresses that have worked on Sundays, and they always say the same thing. They hate the church crowd because the church crowd comes in, and they're the ones that stiff them. The ones who God paid for everything for, they're the ones that are going out there being cheap. Praise the Lord. I'm going to give you an example, and I got a witness in here, so if I'm wrong, I just want to make sure that I'm correct by this. I get my hair cut every 2 weeks. I don't know what a proper tip is for a hair person. So I just assume, I base that on what I know of other professions, like waitressing. So I tip accordingly. And I've even asked her. She won't tell me. She always tells me it's good, but she wouldn't tell me if it's bad, probably. But I always ask her, like, is this enough? Is this right? So you can tell me later, Trish. If I've been cheating Julie, then I'll make sure that I change that. Because that's the thing. I don't want to be cheap anywhere. I want to be doing as good and more as I can. God is a more than enough God. You should be more than enough Christians. Why? Because God is, and you should reflect your Heavenly Father. Why? Because when you're more than enough, that's what shocks the world. When you go out there and shock the world, I don't care how much money you got. It don't matter. It does not matter how much money you got. I'll tell you what. I will not go through a gas station and have someone else pump my gas if I can't afford to give them at least a couple bucks to go with it. I will not do it. I'll stand out in the cold and do it myself. If you're too lazy to get out of your vehicle like I am, and you're going to have somebody else pump your gas, well, praise the Lord, it's different with my kids because I raise them, I pay for them, they get tipped all the time. So I always try to pump my gas when they're in the car, because then I ain't got to pump my gas and I got to pay them either. But am I cheap with you boys? Am I cheap with you? Am I cheap with you guys? Do I try to withhold from you guys? Praise the Lord, because it's the truth. See, this is the way we got to live. See, this ain't because I'm so great, it's because the Lord's put this stuff on me. nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Other things the Bible leads us tells us it leads us to hell: adultery, being immoral, selfish ambitions, jealousy, envy, murder, dissensions. Dissensions is causing rifts. If you're a divisive person, you better watch that. You better watch it. You don't want to be a divisive person. If you always got to be in the middle of this, in the middle of that, and you're talking about this person, you're talking smack about this person, and you're stirring this up over here, and you're stirring up over, I don't care if it's in church or not. You better be careful, because that's something that God says is worthy of hell. Praise the Lord, because God doesn't, he hates all this stuff. In fact, in Proverbs, I can do a whole message on just that. Proverbs, he talks about it. Murder, remember, murder isn't just killing somebody. It's even hating somebody. Jesus told us that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to end with this last scripture, Matthew 24:13. Just go ahead and look at it up here. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. God isn't trying to take away from us. He's trying to put things into us. And when we hear a message that seems like, oh, man, it just like, I remember sitting in messages where we're like, okay, I do everything wrong. Yeah, praise the Lord. I know how it is, and I'm going to try to give you a little bit of encouragement here as we're heading out, so you'll understand. Listen, God is not trying to do that. I am not trying to do that. Every single time we have a mentoring thing with Pastor Michael, and we sit there and he's talking to the pastors, I always leave there thinking, man, I got to correct pretty much everything in my life, okay? That's because spirituality always calls us up higher. Don't feel bad. If you're caught in something, if you need help out of something, will you talk to us? We'll help you out of it. We'll tell you how to get there. We'll help lead you out of these things. We don't want anybody to be caught up or to feel like you're alone. We ain't going to judge people. We ain't going to judge you. We don't do that. But otherwise, just look at it and say, you know what? This is stuff maybe I got to work on. And so you just take it. Lord, you go before the Lord. Say, Lord, I am wrong in this area of my life. I know it is. Just take one area. It doesn't have to be. Don't be overwhelmed by it all. Don't get overwhelmed. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you're looking to God, then you just go before God and you say, Father, help me to do this. But then you got to be willing to make the steps. When he says, don't do this, then you got to, then you got to know that you just got to stop doing that. When he says, do this, and you got to start working towards that. When you step out to be faithful towards God, he's going to meet you there. But see, at the other side of this, when you break this stuff off, this is what the Bible, or what many of us call dross. It's like it's the stuff that gets, this is the purifying process. Hallelujah. When you come out on this other side, you'll be refined gold. You don't get to grow in God unless you get rid of the garbage. But as you get rid of the garbage, you go higher than you can ever imagine. And it's good. It's free. Hallelujah. It's such a beautiful place. There's happiness, joy, all the things you want are right there. So just start heading towards those things. Start pushing towards those things. If you deal with it, if you screw up, well, praise the Lord. You just get up and say, Lord, I'm going to try again. I repent for it. Don't get in bondage and move forward in it. But you got to work at getting these things done. Amen. There's a difference. Yeah, I hope that's clear. Praise the Lord. Well, we understand that, that eternal judgment is a real thing. Hell is a real place. We don't want anybody to go there. We want to get other people to not have to go there. But until Christians start living right themselves, they aren't going to get there. So you understand this. I love you. I love you so much. I think about you all the time. I pray about you. I mean, I really have good thoughts about you. I pray about you. I want to see God's absolute best in your life, and that's why we keep doing it. So you just understand that. We're here for you. We're not hating on you. Praise the Lord. Sometimes things in the pulpit can be bold, but you understand that there's grace when there's a reason for that, and because that's the way the Lord operates, in these messages. So, well, praise God. Thank you for being with us today. We're going to pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. Lord, we thank you that you have provided not just awesome things for us, God, but you have provided direction, Father, so that we don't have to live in the bondage of the world anymore. Doing the things that the world does, looking like the world does, hurt by the world, hurt by those things. Just in my spirit right now, I want to bring this up to you right now. If you point to everything in the Bible that God says not to do, all these things that we brought up, there can be a temptation. This is by the Spirit. I want you to understand this is by the Spirit, this direction. There'll be things that'll be brought up, and I know the feeling that as you hear some of these things, and even if these are some things that you do, there's a temptation in you to get mad, and there's a temptation in you to feel bad about it. But you got to understand the heart of the Father. See, the Bible tells us that sin causes death. Sin causes death. That means that sin that as we operate in sin, those are the things that create death in our lives. If you had, there is no marriage that has ever failed except that somebody was not walking in God's covenant for marriage. They weren't doing what God said to do about it. And see, so if a husband and wife always do what God says to do, the husband and wife should do, both are completely happy, both are completely blessed, and the marriage always survives. But the same thing goes in your life. Maybe you're struggling with an addiction. I know I've dealt with addiction. I know other people's. I know the horrible grasp that it can have on you. But you understand this. God wants you free from that. Why? Because addiction causes death. And you know this. You can't go and find somebody who was ever blessed by a drunk driver. You can't ever go find somebody who is blessed by sticking a needle in their arm. You can't ever go find somebody who is blessed, truly blessed, by spending their life caught up in dope or anything else. You see, these things all rob from us, and that's why God wants us set free. God wants us set free. So again, by the Spirit of the Lord, I say these things so you understand that God wants good things in your life. He wants you to feel good. He wants you to be happy. He wants peace and joy in your life. He wants your family right. He wants your kids being what God says kids should be to the parents. Praise the Lord. God's got good things for us, but it takes us walking into Him to get them. Father, we thank You for this time together. We thank You, Lord, that You for the direction of the Spirit, Lord. We thank You for all the things that You have for us to do and to see. And Father, we thank You foremost for Your freedom that's found in Christ, the freedom that we can live, even though we're not perfect, that we can live and move towards You, that we can be, that we can grow in You, Lord, and we can break free from those things that held us down and kept us back. Father, we thank You for it. We praise You for it. And Lord, our hearts are to go out and to change this world, to show other people the change that's happened in us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You. We thank You. We thank You. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. This is the opportunity we give. You know, every week we give this opportunity because the most important thing is to receive Jesus. The first and foremost step is to receive Jesus. When you can't have access to God without Jesus, you can't have access to the things of God without Jesus. If you don't have Jesus and you pray, your prayers aren't even going to be answered by God. Now, there may be grace there to help you until you get there, but you understand that you can't have any solid foundation. But on the opposite side of this, if you receive Jesus, you understand this, you have access to everything that God has. You have access to the power of heaven, the creative power of heaven that made everything you see, everything you know, and then beyond. So if you've never received Jesus before, if maybe you've gone to church all your life, but you've never received Jesus, see, it matters that we receive Jesus. And what do I mean by that? The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. So if that's you, if you've never done those things and you'd like to today, it's real easy. I just want you to simply throw up your hand real quick. We'll have you put it right back down. Thank you, Lord. I see those hands. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Father. We'll have you put it right back down, and we're going to all pray a prayer together. We're not going to have you come forward. We're just going to pray that prayer together. So I'm just going to give one more opportunity. If there's anyone else that didn't raise their hand, would love to, would like to, just go ahead and slip up your hand real quick. Praise you, Lord. I don't see any hands, any more hands, but we had a couple hands, so we're going to pray a prayer. So if you've raised your hand, just pray this prayer with me, and just understand this, that if you pray this prayer, then it works that time, and that you don't ever have to do it again as long as you meant it. So if that's you, I'm going to give one more opportunity. Before I do this, I want to give one more opportunity. Maybe you have received Jesus before, but you've walked away from God. And I'm not saying you made a few mistakes or maybe you just haven't got some things right yet, but I'm saying that you completely walked away from God. You're coming back now because you want to get back in His grace. You want to get living for Him again. If that's you, go ahead and throw your hand up real quick too. Thank you, Lord, for that hand. Praise you, Lord, for that hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't see any more hands. Oh, praise God. So we got a couple hands here. Let's pray this. Everybody, by the sound of my voice, we're going to pray this together. And if you raise your hand, pray this prayer, mean it from the bottom of your heart. And guess what? You're on course. Praise the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for your son. I thank you he died for my sins so I could be saved and live for you. Wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.